Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here on High Velocity Radio, and I got with me today Mr. Bill Piper with Two Roads. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Lee. Glad to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about Two Roads? What are you doing for folks?
You know, we are, what we do is probably not the most exciting thing for most small business owners, but essentially we do bookkeeping. And our kind of flavor on it is we focus on working with small business owners that feel kind of trapped in running their business by their bank account balance and really just want to do what they're good at and have somebody that can provide a system that offloads all the things that stand in the way of being able to spend their time doing that.
Now, a bookkeeping firm, is that different than an accounting firm?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's one we get a lot. You know, we're not a conventional accounting firm in that most of the industry, and by proxy, most of the market in general has been trained to think of accounting as something that's done primarily in the rear view and done primarily to keep you out of trouble with the IRS and make your tax return easier at the end of the year. But we saw an opportunity in the market as a lot of new technologies were emerging and as it seemed that in general, small business was becoming more and more focused on staying in their highest and best use and core competency. So where we would differentiate from our stance as a bookkeeping firm versus a traditional accounting firm is that we provide actionable data for entrepreneurs that don't want to actually do the work. They don't speak accountant. They just need somebody that's focused on owning what's happening in their business, delivering them actionable data so that they can make the best decisions they need to make to go grow their revenues, have more time with their family, or hire somebody so they can go live on the beach. You know, whatever that might be, it's different for everybody.
Now, you mentioned that most or a lot of businesses kind of operate their accounting by their checkbook balance. And, oh, I have money enough to pay payroll or pay everybody, then it's a good month, or I don't, it's a bad month. But they're not kind of leveraging the data to make informed decisions regarding forecasting or growth or can I save to buy something. How do you kind of specifically help in this area other than just capture the data?
Yeah. You know, it's hard. And we find that most people that go into business for themselves, they've got a very specific vision about what they want in terms of getting a return, what kind of return they want to get out of their business. And that might be, like I mentioned a second ago, it might be they want more time. It might be they've got a very specific income goal. And, you know, my team and I would tell you that good bookkeeping is kind of a dime a dozen. Like having somebody that can accurately reconcile or categorize, that's not a unique skill set in the marketplace, although vital. But what we really bring to entrepreneurs is a clear path, a roadmap for there's a story that the numbers are telling you of that's frankly a cold objective reality that's happening in your business. And most people don't really have a clear understanding of what that story is in terms of trends or what levers they need to pull to affect the change to get that return that they want, that they had a vision for when they started their business. So our entire system is geared towards providing small business owners the actionable insights that they need to be able to exert command over their business so they get the return that they want out of it.
Now, how do you deliver that intelligence? Is it through kind of regular check-ins with your clients or do you send them reports that kind of let them know that, hey, this is going on. I don't know if you've noticed this or maybe you should pay attention to this. This number is going up. It should be going down. Like, how do you kind of communicate this intelligence?
Those are intuitive questions. I mean, that we call our clients partners to kind of color that relationship in that it would be very easy in our position to say, hey, great, you know, we sent you your reports. Can't you take it from there? But our whole goal is you know, people are busy. People, they hire us because they want to focus on what they're good at. And so we take ownership over, you know, we're watching your costs every week. We're saying, hey, we noticed this exceptional charge happened over here. Was that on purpose? Or we've noticed you've been spending a lot in these areas. You know, is there a reason behind that? Maybe you could help us understand. As well as sending some run-of-the-mill reports that are the standard month-end close that, frankly, most people aren't used to getting. And even if they are used to getting them, they're not really sure how to leverage them. They're not really sure how to use them. So part of what we do is educating business owners in terms of what numbers they need to be looking at on a monthly basis to tell that story and understand how they can elevate from somebody that just owns their job to somebody that really can operate as a CEO, even if it's of their one person company.
Now, when you must be working with a wide variety of firms, does that give you kind of an opportunity to get best practices from some high performers so that you can advise maybe the not so high performers a little more effectively?
Absolutely. Benchmarks are a really, they create a strong advantage when you're able to talk about businesses in a broad perspective. So we're able to look sometimes within an industry specifically, maybe that's a professional service provider or a restaurant or, you know, a tradesman, somebody that's going to have pretty clear benchmarks in their industry in terms of what generates success. But then sometimes we borrow from other industries of, hey, you know, we've seen people that were where you are 5 years ago. And here are some of the ideas that they were able to implement over time.
Now, does your service work best in certain verticals? Do you focus on certain verticals where you're kind of ninjas in, like you mentioned, restaurants possibly or professional services? Or is this kind of across the board that any firm of a certain size can use your service?
You know, there are some areas that we focus on more than others, but the biggest thing that we find ourselves, I heard somebody say, sometimes you find a niche and sometimes a niche finds you. Going back to one of your first questions about, you know, we're not a conventional CPA firm. We're a bunch of entrepreneurs that saw a need in the marketplace and felt our own frustration around being able to get actionable, really meaningful service from the traditional accounting industry. So what that led to over time was not necessarily as much a specific industry as much as it was a specific mindset of business owner. Uh-huh. People that really have a pretty distinct vision for what they want to create. People that value their time more than they value. They don't want to spend time to save money. They want to invest their money to maximize their time. We hear a lot of themes of family and travel. Sometimes it's college football, you know, but ultimately it's people that want to command their own destiny. And that's why they started their own business. They just need somebody that can partner with them on the back end of their business, help them accomplish their goals because they're good at what they do and need support with the rest.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I'm asking is we've had several people in here that have, I don't want to say similar businesses, but some of this kind of virtual businesses, and they started out in one niche, like one in particular started out in the, I think the church niche, and they were serving pastors because that's what they knew. And then from over time, it grew and it expanded into other areas, but they started somewhere and then they became kind of experts in that world. And then because of that, they brought some unique skills into that niche. And I didn't know if that was how it started with you, where you kind of became experts in one area and then have expanded beyond that.
You know, we were very relational. We still are. You know, I mean, we're a very relational firm. And early on, our business came to us because people recognized, I guess, maybe something, again, that mindset, just that from relationships that we had. And over time, the relationships compounded and compounded and compounded to where we had a much broader scope of clientele. And we had to get really good at figuring out how money flowed within a business. We had to get really good at wrapping systems around somebody's business to create an end goal for them that they want. So, I mean, we've kind of kicked ourselves a couple of times. Hey, maybe this would have been easier. Maybe we would have had some fewer late nights if we'd focused on one industry in particular. But at the end of the day, we just love small business owners because our belief is that's the backbone of the economy. That's the heartbeat of America. And there's really something romantic about somebody that, regardless of the industry, there's something romantic about somebody that kind of jumps off of a cliff and they hope their parachute's going to open, but they have enough belief in themselves. They have enough vision. They have enough passion, or heck, maybe they just need to go buy diapers or groceries badly enough to where they go make it happen. And those are the kind of stories that get us excited.
Now, when you're working with you, it's kind of unique in the sense that a lot of what you do is remote, right? You're virtual. You're not physically at the location or with the people. Is that kind of a learning curve for some of your clients, or is this the first time they've had virtual help like this?
That varies pretty broadly in terms of some industries are a lot more accustomed to having virtual help than others. But to speak generally, you know, it does make a lot of people's head kind of turn sideways just for a second. Like, well, how does that work? You know, how can I sit down with my bookkeeper or my CPA and ask the questions or review what I want? But you know, a couple things. It enables us to source the best talent. Period. Regardless of where they are. Then two, I mean, technology has emerged so far that it not only creates efficiencies on our end, but it also creates efficiencies for our clients that they can have a face-to-face meeting with their bookkeeper or with somebody on our team via technologies like Zoom or other video conferencing platforms pretty much on demand. There's not getting in the car to travel, you know, whatever that might be. But the industry is moving more and more that direction. And in many ways, as a reaction to continuing to create further ease and efficiencies for the client themselves.
Now, when you're working with somebody, walk me through how the relationship kind of develops. They find you, you find them, however you meet. Then I guess you call them or they call you and you talk about kind of scope of work, what the landscape is for the relationship, what type of challenges they have and what, needs they have. And you kind of share your services and your vision of how it could work.
Yeah. I mean, we're big relational. We're a relationally driven firm. I mean, a lot of people do find us. We do find a lot of people. The first step with anybody that we talk to is we spend a lot of time talking to somebody, evaluating a good culture fit, making sure they feel comfortable with us, we feel comfortable with them, and that we have a pretty clear understanding of what they're trying to accomplish. We understand what that return that they wanted, you know, what was that vision? So the first step in any relationship that we have with anybody is charting the course. You know, hey, what did you set out to do when you started this? And how can we be, how might we be one hand in helping you stay more closely aligned with that course? So we chart the course and then we build systems to enable people to stay on that course. It might be they need to offload, not ever having to touch a piece of paper. It could be that they've got a couple different softwares that they integrate with in their business and we need to figure out how to make everything talk to each other. Or it could just be that they've got good systems in place. They're just not utilizing them to their fullest capacity because they're just really busy. So we chart the course, build the systems, and then we optimize everything to the preferences of the business owner themselves. Some people like email. Some people like phone calls. Some people like video conferencing. Some people like a lot of detail on their income statements. Some people just want to know three numbers and that's it. We wrap things around the client to make sure that we're delivering the data in such a way that sets them up the best to be able to consume, use, and act on that data. And then the last step in everything is command. You know, we make sure that everybody has everything that they need to exert command over their business. They've got the course charted. They've got the systems in place that we're largely doing for them in the background. And then we've optimized things to where We just deliver it to them and we give them what they need to make confident choices. They never have to worry about, oh my gosh, I don't know how much money I had, or, you know, am I really profiting? I know I've got cash in the bank, but do I really have a profit? They've got command, they've got confidence in the decisions that they're making. And from there, they can use that as a platform to build the lifestyle they wanted when they started their own small business.
Now, you mentioned early on that when I'm working with you, I don't just have a bookkeeper. There's kind of a team of support. Can you talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah. You know, again, going back to the conventional model of the traditional accounting industry, it is largely based on having the right capacity of knowledge, or having the right savvy, and putting enough hours from one person, you know, billable hours, to get the job done. But the hard part is, you know, I mean, people get sick, they go on vacation. One person only has a certain amount of exposure to, you know, whatever circumstances that might present them to where they might have to figure it out. But, you know, our approach is we have one point of contact that is the primary point of contact for people. But then from there, you've got somebody that is really an advocate for your success in our relationship. Somebody that is overarchingly watching the course of our relationship with you to make sure that you've always got everything that you need to communicate effectively with us, that we understand what you're trying to accomplish. We've not deviated from the course. And then there's another team that manages those systems and holds everybody on our team accountable to the results or the actions that we say we're going to do, to where you've got a customized process managed by multiple people with no one single point of failure, to where you really feel kind of enveloped by this group of people that are taking ownership as being a partner in your success on a monthly basis.
Now, when you're working with small businesses, and I'm sure you've seen many, many of them, do you see some mistakes that these people are making time and again where you're like, oh, here we go again?
Yeah. We've had everything from somebody asking us at the very beginning, oh, I need a separate bank account for my business. That's pretty low level, you know, like that's day one, right? You know, but, you know, we also see other things like, you know, I mean, the next step of that is using business accounts or personal expenses, or categorizing things wrongly, or it's not necessarily a mistake as much as it is just a limitation of people that they view bookkeeping as a necessary evil, and it's again something that makes keeps them out of trouble with the IRS and makes their tax return easier at the end of the year. So tactically, you know, that we want to extend a lot of grace to our clients, and that it's not necessarily a mistake as much as it might be just a limitation of your time or even your capacity. If there was one overarching mistake, we would say that it would be confusing growing your revenues with growing your business, and that not valuing the back end or the foundation of the business that you build by understanding your financials and being able to look at trends and identify what's going to happen in the next 30, 60, 90 days as a result of those trends. You know, that tends to be what gets people in trouble the most. And again, that goes back to mindset. You know, do you value the biggest storytelling components in your business over just saying, you know what, I've got cash in my bank account?
And part of what you would provide, I would imagine, is asking that maybe how to keep the end in mind. Like, if your objective is to sell your business at some point or to scale your business, you would kind of pay attention to things in a little different manner and set things up in a different manner, right? If you're a solopreneur and all you do is want to just, you know, make sure all the money comes to you in the most tax-friendly way, you would attack it a certain way, as opposed to, I want to, you know, sell this to a stranger. So then I would maybe set up different systems and different categories and in different ways, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I've got one client that owns three different entities, about to have a fourth, and then probably a year or so from now, we'll probably have a fifth. And, you know, he wants to be able to manage each of those entities at a super high level and not really have to be involved in the day-to-day. He just wants to know what's going on and be able to make really big picture decisions. There are other people that, you know, they've got a really specific income goal, or got another client that is seriously considering either bringing in an equity partner in the business, getting some cash, or maybe even just selling. And so having really good, squeaky, clean financials, I mean, to your point, the objective is going to be very different, and the way that we shepherd somebody through that process towards their goals when somebody just wants to take a check off the top, versus somebody that needs to be, in the weeds of what's happening on a day-to-day business to make sure their business is healthy, it is going to be very different.
So now when you're working with different business owners at all different levels, it seems, you must be learning some things about common threads about what makes somebody successful, what personality traits or what habits they might have. Are you seeing some of that?
Yeah, we do. I mean, one of the biggest markers of success that we see is how people value their time. You know, and a lot of business owners, they undervalue their time. I mean, it could be somebody on the smallest end of, you know, they're doing low six figures in revenue, and they're doing tasks that are worthy of $20 an hour, when their time is far more valuable than that. Or it could be on the bigger end of, you know, somebody's doing multiple millions of dollars, and they're still doing tasks that are still those $20 an hour tasks. Either way, whether or not you're at low six figures or multiple millions of dollars in revenue, it's really vitally important for business owners to have an accurate understanding of what their time is worth and staying focused on the tasks that are commensurate with that value. You know, another big thing is just stick-to-itiveness. It's that grit. It's that willingness and ability and desire to be committed through the tough times and stay committed to a vision of what they're trying to create. I've seen a lot of people that were very unlikely successes. They just kind of kept going. And, you know, before they knew it, over the course of, you know, most of the time years, they're pretty successful entrepreneurs just because they kept going and figured stuff out.
Now, for you, being a virtual company, how do you kind of stay in front of your prospects? How does the sales and marketing work for your firm?
You know, that's a great question, and it's one that we are always trying to figure out. I mean, to echo an earlier point about the market's shifting. You know, the market is changing, and people want to be communicated with differently. People run their businesses differently, and you know, we want to, again, go to our market, go to our ideal clients in such a way that is easy and meaningful for them. In some ways, you know, there's just not, some ways you just have to, you know, reach out and talk to people and say, hey, you look like clients that we've worked with in the past. Would it make sense to have a conversation? Other times we've got a lot of people that send us clients that are like them, you know, birds of a feather flock together, right?
Sure.
But with new technologies like Facebook ads, and, you know, micro-targeting, we're finding a lot more capacity in our ability to find the people that we really want to work with, that we know we can bring value to, and really make an impact in their lives and in their business.
Now, but because the world is so vast, do you get kind of overwhelmed with, well, there's people like this all over the place, you know, our net can be so wide. You know, I don't even know where to begin, or are you attacking this kind of regionally? How's your growth kind of plan going?
You know, it's an ever-changing target. And, you know, we have right now focused on companies that, you know, there's a confluence of industry, with some sectors of geography. You know, we're a Tennessee-based company, and so sometimes companies that the idea of hearing somebody pick up the phone and say, "Hey, how y'all doing?" It's comforting and it's not foreign to them. then there are other times too that, you know, we've got a client that he lives in Israel, and he manages businesses over here stateside. So that came by way of a relationship. So, you know, Lee, it's a challenge, and I think that's a challenge that, we would say that successful entrepreneurs always have their ear to the ground about what's coming and what's coming next, and how do we just move forth with an idea of who can we serve the best? How can we make the best difference in their lives? And what's the right tool? What's the right message to get our core purpose and vision for helping people out in front of those people?
And what is the pain that your prospects are having where it's to the point where they're like, you know what, we got to call the folks at Two Roads?
You know, a lot of times it's it could be as simple as I'm managing my business by my bank account balance and I don't know how much money I'm making, to my business has begun to grow in complexity. We're more complex. I can't just keep a track of everything in my head. I've got a couple employees, or I'm expanding locations, or my projects and deals are expanding, and I just need control, but I don't have the time, nor the desire, nor the savvy to go in and exert the control over this area of my business. They want to be freed up to go do what they do, and they need somebody to lower the noise on the other side of their business.
So if time is becoming an issue and you're running out of it, and bookkeeping and accounting are not your superpowers, you should probably check out the folks at Two Roads. Right, Bill?
Yeah, we'd love to talk to you.
And if somebody wants to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you to have a meaningful conversation?
Our website is tworoads.co. So tworoads.co.
And that's spelled out. The number two is spelled out T-W-O, Roads Co.
Right. T-W-O-R-O-A-D-S.co.
Okay, I want to make sure they get that right. And then again, I'm sorry to interrupt. What were you saying?
Yeah, no. I'm also pretty easy to find on LinkedIn. You know, Bill Piper, Two Roads, if somebody wanted to reach out to me directly, or even Facebook. Again, we're relational, and we like being real people. And not just a brand. So LinkedIn or our website would be a great way. We'd love to talk to anybody.
Now, do your clients typically have QuickBooks? Are they QuickBooks users, or they're not on any accounting platform, or does it matter?
You know, our platform that we put people on is QuickBooks Online. And there's a strong contingency. I mean, the QuickBooks Online earlier this year eclipsed a big marker in the number of users and how quickly they're growing and kind of becoming the mainstream platform in the marketplace. But we put everybody on that. There are a lot of people that are already there. There are some people that come to us and they've got a collection of spreadsheets on a jump drive. Some people are on, I've even had people come from Quicken, personal finance tool,
right,
that we convert that data into business level QuickBooks Online account.
Good stuff. Well, Bill, thank you so much for being part of the show today and sharing your story.
I appreciate you having me.
This is Lee Cantor for our producer, Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.